Good morning, church family. Good morning, guests who have come here today to worship with us. Thank you, Sanctuary Choir and Youth Choir, for leading us in worship. Your voices are so beautiful, and I know they are so beautiful to the Lord as you worship Him. It's so good to be here with you this morning, where we can celebrate and honor our seniors today, but even more than that, we're here to worship the Lord. We're here to hear from Him, to listen to His voice to us. And so that's what we're going to do. We are going to worship the one true God, and we're going to open up His Word together. So, if you have a Bible, open with me to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Many of you know, maybe some of you don't, but today is Senior Recognition Sunday. And the entry when they came in with pomp and circumstance probably gave that away, but we're celebrating them today. We're honoring them today. They've worked so hard. They've been so diligent in their studies to get to this point in their lives. And this is a momentous occasion for them. And we're here to say, go on, press on, keep going. I want you to know how excited I am for these seniors and for these families. They, again, have worked so hard and have been so diligent. Seniors, I want you to know, so I'm looking at you right now, I want you to know that Nashville First Baptist Church loves you dearly. This church body has poured into you because they love you. They've poured into you that you would pour into others, that you would live a life that honors God, and they are immensely proud of you. Like, just feel that, receive that. This church loves you and is proud of you. While a good portion of my focus in preparing and studying for this message has been on the seniors, I want you to know today that this message is for all of us in here. This message is for all of us, not just seniors. Jesus did not say at the beginning of John chapter 15, now the next 11 verses are for graduating seniors only. No, this is for all of us. This is for all of us today. So I pray we would listen with attentive ears to what God wants to say to us. Before we press into the passage and read it and talk about it, we kind of need to know the context, the setting in which this passage takes place. And this passage in particular falls in the middle, in the heart of what has come to be known as Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, where he would pour out his heart to them, where he would teach them, where he would express his love for them, and he would share with them personal, final words before his betrayal and arrest, to be mocked and scourged and crucified. These are his final words to them. So I just want you to just grasp for a moment as we study these words together, just the personal nature of what Jesus is about to speak to you and me today. These are crucial, important words. So I hope this gives you an idea of where this passage sits in God's Word, in John. And now that we've addressed the context, I want us to look at the text. I want us to read it, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive into it together, okay? So follow with me, if you have a Bible, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this holy moment we have right now to open up your word, to read it, to study it, to think about what it means for our lives today. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you would reveal truth to us. Help us to know and understand what your word means and how to live it out in our lives. God, yes, I want these seniors to grasp these truths, but for every single person in this room watching on live stream, God, I pray that you would open their ears, soften their hearts to what you have to say to them today in John chapter 15. God, we love you. We love you. And we thank you for this time together. It's in your precious holy name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. In this passage, Jesus, you probably picked up on this, Jesus is communicating to us the parable of the vine and the branches. And through this parable, he is communicating to us important spiritual truths that you and I need to understand. And he's going to explain them to us in a very clear way. But when we come to a parable in God's word, we need to understand what the things represent that Jesus is speaking about. So we're going to look first at the parts of the parable before we really press into what this means for you and me. Because if we don't get this, we've missed the parable. So the parts of the parable of this, we see a vine, we see a vine dresser, and we see branches. But what do these things represent? Jesus is speaking in vines, about vine, a vine dresser, and branches. We see the answer to the first two in John chapter 15, verse 1. Look in your Bible with me there. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is speaking here, and he is telling us that he himself is the vine, and that his Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. Now, when you hear vine dresser, think of gardener, the one who tends to and cares for the garden, the branches, the vine. So Jesus is the vine. His Father is the vine dresser. Then later in the passage, Jesus discloses who the branches are, and this is really important for you and me. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says this, the very beginning of the verse. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus restates that he is the vine and that his disciples, those who are following Jesus, are the branches. And that includes not just the people Jesus was talking to back then, but that includes you and me today. If we are following Jesus, we are the branches in the story. We need to pay attention to that. So Jesus is the vine, God is the vine dresser, and followers of Jesus are the branches. So with this understanding in mind, I want to share with you four truths based on God's word in this passage. I know many of you are note takers, so if you got pen and paper or you're on your iPad or iPhone, whatever that looks like for you, whip that out and let's work through God's word together. Four truths that I want to show you today based on God's word. Seniors, this is for you and this is for all of us in here. Four truths. The first point that I want to submit to you today, the very first point is bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. We see this throughout the passage, but what is it? What does it mean to bear fruit? If you look in this passage, we just read it, you will see 6 times in 11 verses, Jesus mentions the idea of bearing fruit. That should send off, you know, kind of alarms in our heads that, okay, Jesus, you keep saying this, you keep talking about it, what do you mean? This must be important. And just a kind of side note, whenever you're reading the Bible for your quiet time and connect groups, whatever that looks like for you, when you are reading the Bible and you see something, a phrase, a word, an idea repeated over and over in a passage, pay attention. That's important. Repetition in a passage communicates importance. And we see that here in John chapter 15. Jesus is saying, bear fruit. So what does it mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, bearing fruit describes the obedience, the actions, the attitudes, the words, the thoughts, and the character of a follower of Jesus. These things are the overflow and result of spending time with Jesus. Like if you spend time with Jesus, you're going to look different. You're actually going to grow to look more like Him. That's bearing fruit. One author says this, fruit is an image for good results coming from the life of a believer, probably in terms of bringing benefit to the lives of others and advancing the work of God in the world. When I say bear fruit, many of you, if you've grown up in church, if you spent time in Sunday school, you are probably thinking of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, and you'd be on the right track if you're thinking that way. And those verses say this, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Spiritual fruit, bearing fruit in your life, in my life, for you seniors and for all of us in here who claim to be followers of Jesus, bearing fruit includes things such as your obedience to God's word. It includes how you react when things don't go the way you planned. It is you remaining faithful to God and His word when culture would press you to do otherwise. Bearing fruit in your life is expressing kindness and generosity to those expecting nothing in return. Bearing fruit in your life is loving one another as Jesus has loved us. That's bearing fruit. And I hope you're beginning to see that bearing fruit is multifaceted. It expresses itself in so many ways in our lives. It is not just one particular thing we do. It is so many things that we do. And manifests itself in so many different ways. So I urge you, as Paul urged the Colossians in verse 10 of chapter 1, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Live this kind of life, church. Live this kind of life. Bear fruit in your life. But, and this is a big but, before we keep going, there's a catch. There is a really big catch that you and I, sitting here in this room, if you're watching us on live stream, there is a catch, a really big catch that we cannot afford to miss. And here it is. You cannot live a life of bearing fruit on your own. You cannot live a life of bearing fruit, of honoring Jesus in your own strength, in your own power, with your own intellectual abilities. You can't. You might can fake it, but you cannot truly do it on your own. Living a godly life in your own power isn't possible. Seniors, living a godly life in your own power is not possible. I need you to grasp that truth, all of us in here. So we have this tension here. We have this dilemma. I want for you, Jesus wants for you to bear fruit in your life. But we can't do it on our own. So what gives? How are we going to move forward in living this kind of life if we can't do it on our own? Point number two, we see bearing fruit and what it is. Point number two, the requirement for bearing fruit. Point number two, truth number two that we're going to see, the requirement for bearing fruit. And we unmistakably see this requirement in verses 4 and 5. So if you got your Bible still open, look with me again in God's word, verses 4 and 5. This is what Jesus says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's the point, really simple, really clear, verses 4 and 5. You cannot live a fruit-bearing, eternally significant life apart from Jesus. You cannot. I think Jesus is communicating that to us very clearly. And he uses the vine branch parable to communicate this truth to us. I imagine him, if you can just think with me for a moment in those final moments before his betrayal, I imagine Jesus looking his disciples straight in the eye and telling him this all-important truth. You can't do it without me. It makes sense that a branch detached from a vine will not produce any fruit. That makes sense. Only when it is connected to the vine to receive the life and nutrients that it needs can a branch produce fruit. Can it actually do the thing it was supposed to do, that it was created to do? Likewise, we cannot bear fruit in our lives if we are detached from Jesus. We can't. We cannot live in the purpose we were created for attached or detached from Jesus. Then Jesus says in verse 5, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now I want us to think for a moment. I want us to meditate on this phrase, "apart from me, you can do nothing." What does Jesus mean here? Well, I don't think Jesus means nothing at all, because people all over the world who have no relationship with Jesus do things, even good things. The truth I think Jesus is trying to get us to see and receive is that without Christ, we are capable of no Christ-exalting good. Good works done apart from God are not God-honoring. I want to repeat that. Without Christ, we are capable of no Christ-exalting good. Good works done apart from God are not God-honoring. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus shoots us straight here. He's not playing games. He's telling us what life is. And life isn't apart from him. That's a jolting statement. It's sobering to me to hear that from Jesus. But Jesus, I'm a senior. I'm graduating. I'm going to college. I heard a guy say to me today, or not today, this past week. A guy said to me, "I'm a grown man. I've made myself. Nobody tells me what to do." And Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Wow. This reality that we, all of us in this room, on live stream, all of us, this reality that we can do nothing of eternal significance and value apart from Jesus can only be received in sincere humility. That's the only way you're going to get this. This means we humble ourselves before God and say, "God, if I'm going to do anything in my life that bears fruit, if I'm going to do anything in my life that counts 10 billion years from now, I need you in my life. I need you." So we've stated this truth in the negative. We cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus. So let's look at this in a positive light. The only way you and I are going to be able to bear fruit in our lives, live lives that are eternally significant, is by abiding in Jesus, being attached to him. Jesus reminds us at the beginning of verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches," as if to say, "I'm the one you need. I'm the source of life and nutrients and everything you need to live, grow, and honor me." Now, at the beginning of verse 4, he gives us the command we need to see in this passage, "Abide in me and I in you." And another word for abide here is to stay or remain. Abide is not really a word we use a whole lot today. So think in terms of stay, to remain. Abide in me, stay with me, remain in me. Practically speaking, abiding in Jesus means continuing, being committed to daily personal relationship with Jesus. It means not drifting, but staying close. In short, we are abiding in Jesus when we are living in relationship with him by his grace. It involves trusting him, obeying him, worshiping him, enjoying him for who he is in our lives. So I urge you, seniors, everyone listening in the sound of my voice, abide with Jesus. Stay with him. Don't leave him. Remain in him, the source and sustainer of your life. Yes, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to be part of what God is doing to advance His gospel, His good news all over the world through you, but at a more foundational level. Before you even get to that, I want you to abide in Jesus. Jesus wants that for you foundationally, to be in relationship with Him. Because if you don't, if you are not abiding with Jesus, you will not bear eternally meaningful fruit. I think that's what Jesus is showing us here. We can do nothing apart from Him. So I urge you, seniors, others listening, lean on Jesus, the cornerstone. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. Remain with Him. And when you do, then you'll bear fruit. Then you'll actually start to get traction and live the life you were created to live. So point number two, truth number two, abiding in Jesus leads to bearing fruit in our lives. But what happens, what actually happens when we abide in Jesus and bear fruit in our lives? What is the result? What can you and I expect? And I think Jesus shows us three things. Point number three, the result of bearing fruit. So we see what bearing fruit is, that we can't do it without Jesus, but what is the result? What happens when we bear fruit? Three things, proof, pruning, praise. Three P's. Proof, pruning, praise. First one is proof, and we see it in verse 8. Look with me there. John chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. When we are bearing fruit in our lives as a result of remaining with Jesus, it will be evidence to the world around us that we are actually with Jesus. When you are living out the life He's created you to live, that's when the world knows that you're actually following Jesus. That it's not just fake, that it's not just talk, but that it's real. You have real relationship with Jesus. The writer of 1 John 2:6 says something similar. You don't have to turn there, but listen to what he says. "By this we may know that we are in Him, in Jesus. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." So here's the question. How can you and I and those around us know if we are actually abiding in Jesus, if we are actually with Him? When we walk in the same way in which He walked, i.e., when we bear fruit as a result of abiding in Jesus. That's how the world knows. You can be a living apologetic for who Jesus is, who the real Jesus is, by the way that you bear fruit in your life. That's crazy. You can just live and express that. So the first result we see of abiding in Jesus is bearing fruit, is living proof, it's evidence that we are actually following Jesus. Point number two, so we see proof. The second result we see is pruning, and we see this in verses 2 and 3. I want to spend a little time here. Verses 2 and 3 say this. Follow with me. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So here we see in verses 2 and 3, the second result of abiding in Jesus and bearing fruit in our lives is the providential pruning of God so that we bear more fruit. Jesus tells us clearly, I don't want to skip over this part of verse 2. He tells us clearly, non-fruit-bearing branches will be taken away. He expounds on this a little more in verse 6. Jesus says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." It is possible to appear to be with Jesus, but not actually abide in Him. Judas Iscariot is a case in point. In fact, Judas was sitting right around Jesus when Jesus spoke these words. Judas had walked with Jesus. He was discipled by Jesus. He spent time with Him. He preached the gospel and did many great things. And his end was eternal separation from God. Again, it is possible to appear to be with Jesus, but not actually abide in Him. That's truth we can't afford to miss. So understanding that, we move into, okay, what does it look like when branches are bearing fruit? they will be pruned and cut. That's what Jesus is showing us here in verses 2 and 3. Pruning is a painful experience. It requires scissors to cut off any branches, any part of the branch that is keeping it from bearing fruit. Pruning supports the health and life of the branch. It is for the branch's good. And here we see God the Father, because remember, God the Father is the vine dresser here. He's the one tending and caring to the garden, to the branches, to you and me. Seniors, there will be moments, there will be seasons in your life where the Lord will be pruning you. And I don't want you to be blindsided by that. There will be moments of painful pruning in your life and all of our lives. And God will lead you through this pruning, not in spite of you, not because he's mad at you, but because he deeply loves you, that he knows you and I need it. And you may feel like God is far off, that he's not close to you, that he's left you, but the very fact that he's pruning you is proof that he's close to you. The vine dresser must be close to the branch he's pruning, the branch he is shaping more into his image. He will remove from your life anything and everything that would keep you from bearing fruit. So remember this, receive it deeply by trusting in Jesus in the midst of painful pruning. And then Jesus continues in verse 3, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." When I got to this verse in the passage, it almost seemed out of place. It seems like Jesus could have moved from verses 2 to 4 and just kept on going. But Jesus mentions verse 3 here. Why? Well, after a little digging, particularly in the original languages, I found that the word for pruning in verse 2 and the word for clean in verse 3 is the same root word. And they both mean to clean, to purify, to cleanse. And Jesus says in verse 3, "Already you are clean." Notice the linking phrase, "because of the word that I have spoken to you." That's how you and I are cleansed. That's how we're purified. That's how we're pruned. The word of Christ cleanses, purifies, prunes us to bear more fruit. Jesus says something similar two chapters later, John 17, 17. "Sanctify them in truth. My word is truth." So by God's very word, he prunes. He cuts off anything and everything that would keep us from following him, that it would keep us from abiding in him. So my encouragement to you is don't avoid it. Many times we avoid God's word because we know there's stuff in there that goes against the grain of our thinking and preferences. Don't avoid his word. Stake your life on it. You need this. I need this. Third and final result I want to show you of bearing fruit and abiding with Jesus is praise. We see this in verse 8. Look with me there. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." By this, that's a key word there. My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Bearing fruit in your life brings praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ. You are living in the very purpose you were created for when you were abiding in Jesus and bearing fruit. When you read, study, and obey God's word, you glorify God. When you resist temptation, you glorify God. When you share the gospel, you glorify God. When you respond with gentleness and patience instead of anger and wrath, you glorify God. When you show love, expecting nothing in return, you glorify God. This is bearing fruit. Seniors, bear fruit in your life. You cannot do it without Jesus. And when you do, you will show the world who you were really following. You will welcome the pruning of God in your life so that you bear even more fruit. And you will bring glory and honor to the one who deserves it all. Who deserves it all. So I'm to my last point, my final point. And to me, as I read this text, the one that all these three points are moving towards. My last point is this, that your joy may be full. We see this in John chapter 15, verse 11, the very last verse of this passage. Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Let's read that again. "These things," that is verses 1 to 10, "I have spoken to you that," here's the purpose, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You've seen that. Do you want to experience, do you want the explosive, never-ending joy of Christ in your life, coursing in and through who you are? Do you want to have joy that is full? It won't come by living up to people's expectations. It won't come by succumbing to peer pressure. It won't come by making a name for yourself or making lots of money. It won't come by making this or that grade or getting into this or that school. Your capacities for deep, lasting joy can only be filled by abiding in Jesus and living from that relationship. That's the only way. You know, Jesus is not the cosmic killjoy we make him out to be at times. He is the giver of indestructible joy, joy that will never fade. He actually wants your joy to be full, so much so that he tells you what it takes to have it. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Seniors, stay there. Remain there. Live in that love. And that goes for all of us. So seniors, as you go off to college, as you spend the rest of your life, stay with Jesus. You cannot live the life you were created for without him. And you cannot have deep, lasting joy without him. Stay with Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time in your word. Thank you for showing us what it means and how to live it out in our lives. God, we need your word to teach us. So God, I thank you by your spirit for revealing truth to us, for showing us what it means. God, I pray that as we go from here, we would listen to this encouragement from your word to stay with you, to live in the relationship with you that you have created us for. God, we love you. We thank you for this time together, and I pray that as we continue to lift you up in praise, that you be magnified and exalted. It's in your precious holy name. Amen.